From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Nearly 40 years ago, a character burst into the public arena. He was smart and funny and over-the-top neurotic. His name was Alexander Portnoy, a creation of the writer Philip Roth. The novel Portnoy's Complaint unfolds in one long psychotherapy session. It shocked some readers and delighted others. In this installment of our series In Character, NPR's Eric Weiner puts Portnoy back on the couch.
Okay, let's deal with this uncomfortable yet unavoidable fact right off the bat. Alexander Portnoy, nice Jewish boy, brilliant honors student, New York City's Assistant Commissioner for Human Opportunity, has a problem. He loves himself, one part in particular, a little too much. Aiding young Portnoy in these furtive sessions of self-love are a variety of props, an empty milk bottle, a sock, a baseball mitt, and, famously, a piece of liver, as depicted in the 1972 film.
Wasn't my first piece, either. My first piece I found in our refrigerator one afternoon when I came home from school, and had in the privacy of the bathroom at 3:30, and then had again on the end of a fork at 6 o'clock that evening, along with the other members of my poor, innocent family. So, now you know the worst thing I've ever done. I f***ed my own family's dinner.
So numerous and colorful are depictions like these, it's tempting to conclude that this is a book about masturbation. Tempting, says Alana Newhouse, arts and culture editor at the Jewish newspaper The Forward, but incorrect.
This is the great misunderstanding about Portnoy, is that people think it's a book about masturbation. It's actually a book about enmeshment and one's relationship with one's parents.
And what parents does Alex Portnoy have? A father who suffers from both a dead-end job and a chronic case of constipation. But it is Portnoy's mother, Sophie, who shapes young Alex into her own neurotic image.
Alex, to pick up a phone is such a simple thing. Alex, how much longer will we be around to bother you anyway?
Portnoy's mother is, as Alex puts it, the patron saint of self-sacrifice, one of the outstanding producers and packagers of guilt in our time. She is, in other words, a Jewish mother. In fact, Portnoy's Complaint did for the Jewish mother what Jaws did for the shark, took an already frightening creature and made it even scarier. But is that a fair depiction?
My reaction was that it was offensive, that it was exaggerated.
Carol Weiner is a Jewish mother. Well, actually, she's my Jewish mother. I called her recently, something I don't do often enough, I know, to see how she felt about Sophie Portnoy.
It's a stereotype. Why are you trading in stereotypes? It's beneath you, Eric. Well, I really hope you don't write this story. I think I expect better from you. Okay.
All right. Love you. Bye.
What was that?
I love you.
I love you, too.
Bye.
Don't forget to call.
Okay, bye-bye. The good news for Jewish mothers, hear this, Mom, is that some 40 years after the publication of Portnoy's Complaint, they have had the last word. These days, says Alana Newhouse, all mothers are Jewish mothers.
That's the way you're supposed to mother. You're supposed to be warm and inviting and caressing. All of the things that were caricatured as bad 30 years ago came back around, and now they're considered to be a great alternative to what some people view as the cold, working mother of today. There are children out there who wish they had Jewish mothers.
Not Alex Portnoy, though. He was desperate to escape his Jewish mother, to flee his suffocating New Jersey home and indulge his libido. After all, it was 1969. The sexual revolution was in full bloom. Yet, while most Americans were engaging in sex without guilt, Alex Portnoy engaged in guilt without sex, until finally he meets a woman willing to fulfill his every fantasy, Mary Jane Reed, a.k.a. the monkey.
All I want is to please you, darling. I want you to be so happy with me that you burst from me. I'll do anything to make you happy, anything you want.
But alas, Alex Portnoy is not happy, despite or possibly because of his high IQ. For Portnoy possesses just enough self-awareness to recognize his pathology, yet not enough to free himself of it. So he suffers.
Well, why damn it can't I have some fun? Why is every little thing I do for pleasure in this life immediately illicit while the rest of the world rolls laughing in the mud? It makes me want to scream.
He's a sad character. He's someone for whom there seems to be no love in sex at all.
Mark Oppenheimer teaches English at Yale and is editor of the New Haven Review.
All of his neuroses got localized into the sex act, starting when he was very young. But it's normal when you're 13, right? However, when he's still looking to conquer women as a way of conquering his issues with his mom, and he's in his 20s and he's in his 30s, then it becomes sad.
So in the end, are we to take pity on Alex Portnoy? Not at all, says Alana Newhouse.
I loved him. I found Portnoy to be funny and angry and compassionate and most of all searching. This is a character who is in deep conflict because he wants to change.
Do you see Alexander Portnoy's in New York City in your life there, people who remind you of him? Or is it, you know, have we in a way, let's say in the Jewish community, moved past Portnoy?
Well, I think it's safe to say I've dated a few Alexander Portnoys. So, yeah, they're alive and well. I also know a few female Alexandra Portnoys, so to speak, who similarly struggle with the enmeshment with their parents.
In other words, says Newhouse, there's a little bit of Alexander Portnoy in all of us. Who knew? Eric Weiner, NPR News.
You can find more character profiles and write to us about your favorites at npr.org/incharacter. Your essay could end up on the air.